We're continuing a four-part series on the Book of Ruth this morning, and I'm just going to recap a little bit for you. Lee talked about this last week, but in case you weren't here, Ruth is an interesting Old Testament book. It's only four chapters long, like he said. They think it was written by the prophet Samuel, and it chronicles a chapter in the life of the woman who would one day be the great-grandmother of King David. But Ruth was a Gentile woman, and she married into a Jewish family. Her husband dies, his brother dies, and her father-in-law dies. So that leaves her and her mother-in-law, Naomi, to take care of each other. And to top it all off, there's a famine in the land. So it couldn't get much worse, right? And Ruth has the opportunity, and Lee talked about this last week, she has the opportunity to go back home to her parents. And she had every right to do that, and that would have been totally fine. But she chooses to stay with Naomi. She chooses to stay and help her mother-in-law. And then they go, and they move to where there's food, and she goes wherever Naomi goes, right? That's what she says. Where you go, I'll go. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And so he talked about how Ruth helped bring healing to Naomi, even though she herself was hurting. She lost her husband. She was dealing with major hardship, and instead of just kind of turning inward, she decided to help Naomi, even in that hard time. And he talked about how sometimes God calls us to enter into the suffering of someone in our lives. Right? And to walk through that with them. And we have to trust, when we do that, we have to trust that winter will end and that good things are coming. So Kathy said she saw a robin, right? Yeah, so spring's coming. Oh my goodness, you all need some more positive thinking in your life. As we move into chapter 2, we're going to see how God is not a God who's way out there somewhere, uninvolved in the lives of his children, how he's distant, but that he is involved in the details of our lives. He's intimately involved in the lives of his children. So Ruth and Naomi are in this dire situation. They only have each other. They're penniless, right? And we know that there are not a lot of guarantees in life, but we do have one, and that is hard times will come. That is a guarantee. We will have a rough time at some point. There will be, Jesus even tells us in John 16:33 that in this world we will have many trials and sorrows. Promises us that, right? I lost my place. There it is. So between all of us in this room, we have seen loss of income, right? We have seen illness, death of a loved one, pressures of job or family, loneliness, injustice, right? We've all experienced at least one of those things. And I think that one of the most painful things that I've experienced is the betrayal of someone I trusted. Y'all agree with that? That when you trust somebody and that trust is betrayed, that's super painful. And there was a time when Lee and I lost our income because someone told lies about us. That's never happened to any of you, has it? That someone told a lie about you. Everybody has been gossiped about, I think. But in this case, we lost our job because the lies were believed over the truth. And that was a really dark time for me. That was a very lonely time. Especially when, if you have that strong sense of justice in you, right? Like, but that's not true. That's not, I gotta make it right. Yeah. That's where I was. And I initially did not handle the situation with a whole lot of grace. I was very upset with God, you know, cause we do that. How could you let this happen? Why didn't you defend us? Why didn't you step in, right? And I'm sure that we could all share stories where we have felt that way. But as I look back on it now, I see where God was working behind the scenes. He was providing for us in every way. I couldn't see it there, but I can see it looking back. And maybe you're in a similar situation right now. Maybe you're walking through something painful. And I believe that we can find encouragement and hope through Ruth's story. We're going to look in that in chapter 2, but before we get started, let's pray. Father, I thank you for what you've already done here this morning. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your spirit moving and speaking and healing. And I just pray that you would reveal your truth to us this morning as we look into your word, that you would show us what you want to say, that you would replace the lies with the truth. Bring your kingdom this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we're going to pick up the story in chapter 2, as I said, and you can follow along on the screens or in your Bibles, starting with verse 1. It says, "Now there was a wealthy and influential man in Bethlehem named Boaz, who was a relative of Naomi's husband, Elimelech. One day, Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, 'Let me go out into the harvest fields to pick up the stalks of grain left behind by anyone who's kind enough to let me do it.' Naomi replied, 'All right, my daughter, go ahead.' So Ruth went out to gather grain behind the harvesters. And as it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz." I want you to remember that little phrase there. As it happened, she found herself working in a field that belonged to Boaz, the relative of her father-in-law, Elimelech. While she was there, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. 'The Lord be with you,' he said. 'The Lord bless you,' the harvesters replied. Then Boaz asked his foreman, 'Who is that young woman over there? Who does she belong to?' And the foreman replied, 'She is the young woman from Moab who came back with Naomi. She asked me this morning if she could gather grain behind the harvesters. She's been hard at work ever since, except for a few minutes' rest in the shelter.' Boaz went over and said to Ruth, 'Listen, my daughter, stay right here with us when you gather grain. Don't go to any other fields. Stay right behind the young women working in my field. See which part of the field they're harvesting and then follow them. I have warned the young men not to treat you roughly. And when you are thirsty, help yourself to the water they've drawn from the well.' Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. 'What have I done to deserve such kindness?' she asked. 'I'm only a foreigner.' 'Yes, I know,' Boaz replied. 'But I also know about everything you've done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I've heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you've done." So here's what I want you to take with you this morning. Even when you don't see it, God is at work. There's no way that Ruth could have anticipated what would transpire, right? There's no way she could have anticipated what would happen when she went out to try to collect grain. When she told Naomi, I'm going to go see what I can do to get food. There's no way she could have known that Boaz would be so generous and so kind to her, right? And when everything seems to be falling apart in our lives, we often feel like God is not paying attention, don't we? We wonder. I mean, you know, in our minds, we know because the Bible says, right? But don't we wonder where he is? And there are things also that seem like happenstance or coincidence until we look back and realize that God was at work. That was God working in and through our circumstances. And I think that often we make it harder on ourselves when we're going through a difficult time or pain. Like I said, when all that stuff happened and we lost our job and the lies were told, I made it much more difficult on myself by shaking my fist at God. Where were you, right? But we do this. Well, maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. Probably. But I think that we can learn some things from Ruth that will help us in seasons of struggle, some things in this particular passage. So we're going to look at a couple things. First of all, here's the first thing. As we keep moving forward, God guides our steps. A lot of times, we just stand in one spot, and we're like, okay, God, tell us what to do, tell us what to do, tell us what to do, but we don't want to move. And Ruth could have done that. She could have sat with Naomi and said, well, I don't know what we're going to do. We don't have any food. We don't have any men. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? But that's not what she did, right? She got up, went to find food. And as she did, we see in that scripture, verses 2 and 3, she happened to find herself in a field belonging to Boaz. Well, and he's not only a family member, but he was someone who was described as a highly respected, God-fearing man who treated her well, right? She didn't just happen upon his field. God guided her steps. She just didn't know it at the time, right? This was not a happy accident. And we've talked here before about how not every single tiny thing is God, right? We have free will. So we choose, you know, and there's a lot of things that go into what happens in our lives. However, when we step out to do the next thing that we feel like God is showing us to do, he guides our steps. We have to believe that, don't we? And the Bible tells us that he does, so I believe it. He's faithful to lead us where we need to go. And this was God's providence. So providence means the act of providing for or sustaining and governing the universe by God. So simply put, providence is God sees to it. He sees to it that we're taken care of. And in Ruth's case, he led her to Boaz's field. And so how many times have you found yourself in places or situations where you thought that the only way you got there was by God's providence or God's guidance? It's the only way it could have happened. Yeah. So next we see that God rewards us when we take refuge under his wings. In verse 12, we read that Boaz says, may the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully for what you've done. So Ruth has counted God's protection as better than all others, right? Because if she hadn't, she would have gone home to her parents. That would have been the smart thing to do. That would have been the logical thing to do in her case. But instead, she chose to trust God's protection. And she's dependent on him as the source of her hope. And so as a result, God is already rewarding her in several different ways. The first way, with his provision. Not only did Boaz extend to Ruth the rights of a foreigner, so the foreigners had the right to glean in the fields, to follow behind and to glean. But he also promises her protection, and he gives her the same rights as the Jewish workers because he invites her to come and eat with them. So he goes above and beyond what he's required to do. They were told to let them glean in the field. But beyond that, he said, no, come and eat. If you're thirsty, come get water. He gave her the same rights as the Jewish workers. And then in verse 16, later on, we didn't read it, but Boaz tells his workers to leave handfuls of grain behind on purpose for Ruth to pick up. And God does the same for us, doesn't he? I mean, beyond what we need. Sometimes we feel like it's just in the nick of time, and it's just what we needed. And sometimes, though, I mean, I think that if we really, truly looked at it ahead of the bird's eye view, we'd see that he provides way beyond, above and beyond. He blows it out of the water, right? So first she experiences protection and provision, but then Ruth also experiences favor. And Boaz tells her plainly that that's because she has taken refuge under God's wings. Rather than clinging to her rights and return to her family, she takes refuge under his wings. And you know what? We tend to expect certain things. We tend to expect kindness. We want to assert our rights to things, don't we? I'm the only one again. I have the right, right? But Ruth shows extreme humility, and as a result, she's treated graciously. And so I want to talk for just a moment or two about what it means to take refuge under God's wings, because it's something that we hear about in church circles. It sounds a little funny. God has wings. Are we supposed to get under the wing? What does that look like? Anybody else ever think that's kind of metaphors are not lost? Okay. I'm the only one in here this morning that has any issues with anything, apparently. Either that or you're all asleep. We can get up and do jumping jacks. I can do that. Still nothing. Thank you, Linda. She's paying attention. So I want to talk about what that means to take refuge under God's wings, because if we don't know what it means, it's not going to do us any good. So the first thing is, it means to trust that God is unshaken and in power. Taking refuge in God does not always mean immediate escape from pain and suffering. We know this. But because God is king, he is in control. And when stuff comes, he's not shaken by it. He's not worried. And he's not panicking. So we don't need to panic either. We can trust that he's got it. He will see to it, right? Going a step further, taking shelter or refuge under God's wings means living a life devoted to him. Ruth devoted her life to God in the way that she served Naomi, and not always doing what was easy or comfortable. And I think that we need to remember that, because sometimes I think, yes, God blesses us when we live for him, right? And he does a lot of amazing things for us, but it's not always easy or comfortable to live for God if we truly live our lives for him, because it's contrary to our human nature, right? And it's contrary to the culture oftentimes to live for him. And so when we submit every area of our lives to him, we can experience greater peace in the storm. And when we live a life devoted to him, there's so much more peace when trouble comes, because we know he's got it. We're walking in that relationship with him. We know we're doing what he told us to do. You know, it's like when you see the blue and red lights in your rear view and you're like, well, I wasn't doing anything. So you can feel at peace knowing you don't have to worry. It's probably not you he's coming after, right? If you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. If you're not, you're going to worry, right? So when we live our lives devoted to him, we don't have to worry when trouble comes, because we know he's got us. And then lastly, it means God-reliance rather than self-reliance. He is the source of our hope and strength, and he knows what we need way better than we do. So if you're anything like me, and apparently none of you are, but when things happen, my immediate reaction when something happens that I don't like, I want to fix it. And now, I do not have a whole lot of patience for, we'll just see how it all pans out. No, we are going to fix it. If we didn't already, we're proactive and prevent it, right? That's just me and Andrew. Yeah. Oh, there's Kathy. So we want to take it on ourselves. The first time something happens, we want to, okay, what are we going to do? And we're going to figure it out, and we're going to fix it. And it's also easy, if that's not you, maybe you look for comfort in places other than God. So maybe we go and we self-medicate. We hide. And we do things to make us feel better, because I don't know what to do, and so I'm just going to go watch Netflix for 5 hours, or I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to go to bed. Sleep can be, you know, an escape, right? Or we will isolate ourselves and hide away in a time of pain. But the thing is, First off, he knows what we need to do way better than we do. He's the one that needs to fix it, which takes a lot of pressure off of you. And when we, instead of self-medicating, we need to find him to be our comfort, right? The Holy Spirit is the comforter. So we can find our comfort in him, and we can, he is our rescue, right? And instead of isolating ourselves in a time of pain, God has brought people into our lives to bring encouragement and support. And so often we don't reach out because, I don't know, stupid reasons, like we're not sure what that person's going to think if we share what's going on, or what if they reject me somehow, or what if they're, you know, I don't know, what we come up with all kinds of crazy things. But God places people in our lives, and here's what I always have to tell myself if I'm thinking I'm not going to go talk to anybody about this because they don't understand and whatever. I have to tell myself, what if someone came to me with the same problem? How would I respond? Would I think they were lazy or stupid or whatever? I don't know. Or would I love them and show them grace? And we don't show ourselves the same grace that we would show somebody else, do we? So we need to learn to reach out. And that doesn't mean that we're relying on someone else instead of God. God puts people there to help encourage us and to pray for us and to be there for us and to, like we talked about last week, to walk through it with us. And oftentimes people count that as a privilege and an honor to walk through it with you. I do. So believing that God is at work doesn't mean that we deny our pain, and it doesn't mean that we don't acknowledge our struggles or the difficulties that we're facing. We have to, right? But it means that we acknowledge and give them to the one who can carry them for us. It means that we keep moving forward, trusting in an unshakable Father and a God who guides our path, who gives us favor, who provides for every need. And when we look back, we can see how God has been in it with us every step of the way. So when I look back on the incident that I was telling you about, where we lost our job and things that were untrue were said, I can see God's fingerprints everywhere. Through this whole situation, numerous things happened. So, for example, we had groceries show up on our doorstep and checks in our mailbox from anonymous. Well, the checks weren't anonymous, but the groceries were anonymous. We didn't even know that those people knew that we needed anything. Hadn't said a word, right? We had the opportunity to move into a different place in ministry that gave us greater freedom in our calling. And the timing was perfect. We didn't think it was, but now looking back, oh, I see what was going on here. That doesn't mean that God caused these people to say bad things and lose our job. No, he just went, okay, I can do something with this. And he moved us in a different direction. And because in that season, we absolutely had to learn to rely on God completely. We had to. We just didn't have any other choice. And because of that, we grew in faith, and it brought us to where we are today. We never would have been able to plant a church if we hadn't had to depend on him for our groceries, right? And I have a journal of all the times. I just started writing them down every time God just answered what we needed when we needed it. It was unbelievable, that season of where it could have been despair, but I can see God's hand in all of it. I will never forget the time, and I don't do this all the time, but I was praying because I knew that Forrest needed new glasses. Glasses are not cheap. And we needed to register our car or get our plates renewed or whatever. So this all had to happen right now. I had this certain amount of money we needed. I don't remember the amount. And I said, okay, God, here's what we need, and we need it, you know, the glasses can probably wait, but we really need to register the car, and if you could do this. And I just prayed. And probably 2 days later, we had a friend call and say, I just felt like during prayer that God told me to give you this much money, and it was exactly the amount that I said to God. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy. That's crazy stuff. But it happens because, well, first off, we didn't have any other option. We had to lean on him, right? But doesn't he always come through? He's so amazing. And I could tell you story after story. And not only that, not just the provision and the guidance, we were able to see how, even though we didn't want to leave that job, where we had been, once we got out of it, where we had been, we could see, oh, that was kind of a toxic environment. Couldn't see it when we were in it. And we just, oh, we wanted to stay. You know, sometimes we just want to hold on to the things that aren't always good for us. And, you know, Ruth could have hung on to you know, well, I'm just going to go back where it's easy and comfortable. But that maybe, look at what happened. She got to be the great-great-grandmother or great-great-great-grandmother of Jesus. You can do this. Somebody can do the genealogy. But she got to be in the lineage of Jesus. That's amazing. And I think it's kind of awesome how the book highlights Ruth and not Boaz, even though in those days the genealogy was, you know, through the men. But it was all about Ruth, huh, ladies? So even when you don't see it, God is at work. Even when you don't see it, God is at work. And maybe you're in a season where you're questioning this, and you need God to guide your steps. Maybe you need his favor, or you need his protection or his provision. And he'll do these things simply because you're his child. He will. But you can make it a whole lot easier on yourself and have a whole lot more peace if you come under the shelter of his wings. Right? You don't have to do everything right. You're his kid, so he's going to take care of you. But you can just walk in greater peace and freedom if you can learn to trust him. So we're going to pray. Let's pray real quick first. Holy Spirit, we just invite you to come. And I just ask God that for anybody in this room who's in a season where they're not seeing you.